We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
With our senior population continuing to grow, elder abuse is becoming more of a problem. And with me for this segment, I have Michaela Williams, Senior Community Program Specialist for Riverside County Department of Public Social Services. And we're going to be talking about elder abuse. So thank you for joining me today, Michaela. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Stephen.
Now, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started with the Public Department of Social Services. And actually, with that accent, you're going to have to tell us where you're from.
So I actually came to the United States back in 1989. I came on a two-week vacation. I was born and raised in England in the university city of Cambridge. And after my 2 weeks vacation, I decided I hadn't had enough of America. So here I am.
And how did you get started with the Department of Social Services?
I started working with Department of Social Services about 21, 22 years ago now. I started with an agency called Community Action Partnership. And over the years, I've changed departments and changed positions and kind of worked my way through DPSS.
We're going to be talking about quite a few things dealing with the Department of Social Services, elder abuse being one of them. But first of all, give us a broad idea of what the Department of Social Services does and what type of programs that they actually offer.
So specifically for Adult Services Division, we have quite a few programs. First, we have APS, which is Adult Protective Services, which is where people have the ability to make reports of elder and dependent adult abuse. We also have IHSS, which is In-Home Support Services, which is a federally funded program that provides caregivers for our seniors and dependent adults that wish to remain in their homes. It is an income-based program. We have Public Authority, and that is the entity that keeps a registry of our caregivers for our clients. We also have the CARE program, which is curtailing abuse related to the elderly, and that is specifically for victims of consumer fraud and victims of scams. And we work a lot with regulatory agencies, cross-reporting, contractor state licensing board, those kinds of agencies to make reports and attempt to recoup our clients' monies.
Okay, now we're going to be talking about elder and dependent abuse, and now it's one area that, that of course, the Department of Public Social Services handles. Why is this problem so big, and how big is it?
So I came into adult services about 4 years ago, and up until that point, I really didn't know too much about this population. If I said this has been an eye-opener, I really it has. It's a huge issue in this country. If I say approximately 1 in 10 seniors in this country actually experience a form of elder abuse. Some estimate as high as 5 million elders a year in this country are victims.
Okay, now let's go back and let's define elder abuse. Now, what is the actual definition of elder abuse?
So the definition of elder abuse, well, there's many types of elder abuse.
Let's go into that.
So your types of elder abuse are, it can be anywhere from financial abuse, which is a combination of maybe a victim of consumer fraud, maybe a victim of a scam, identity theft. That is one of our forms of abuse that's increasing dramatically over the last few years. We also have neglect by another person, physical abuse, sexual abuse, there's emotional abuse, there's isolation. So abuse comes in many types, many forms. We also have self-neglect, which is on the rise. While it's not a crime, it is on the rise and it is impacting many more of our clients now. And that really comes down to the fact that many of our clients they're getting older, they're living longer, maybe they outlive their friends, their family members, they become very isolated, and then they can't do things like they can't drive anymore, they can't get to their doctor's appointments, they can't get to the grocery store, they become hoarding situations. So self-neglect is definitely on the rise, as is financial abuse on the rise.
Okay, now, how many calls of abuse do you get every year?
So Riverside County receives about 19,000 calls a year into our central intake center. It is a center. It's operational 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So anybody can make an elder abuse report at any point in time. But there's about 19,000 calls that come in annually. Of those 19,000, you could do about 1,300 allegations of abuse a month. And they are actual cases where, you know, it will be made a case, it will be assigned to a social worker, and someone will go out and investigate it.
Now, what actually happens when the department receives a call of abuse? What is the procedure behind that?
So ordinarily, there'll be a call of abuse made. We will attempt to collect as much information as the reporting party has. And we usually tell, you know, don't be an investigator, just give us what you have. And then we will, you know, get the rest of the information needed from there. But once the report has been made, a report will be generated. It will be assigned to a social worker. And then from there, we will do case management on that. Social worker will attempt to go out, visit with the client, assess what the situation is, what the needs are. And then from there, we will offer services, resources, or whatever it is that's needed to resolve the case.
You say that there are several different types of elder abuse, financial being one of them. Tell us a little bit about that, go into a little more in depth.
So financial abuse is definitely on the rise. We have a generation that has billions of dollars in assets. It's a generation that was very frugal, a generation where, you know, some of our clients were fought in world wars for us. So it makes them a primary target. And as we grow older, some of our decision making isn't quite as sharp as it used to be. So when we have people, we have scammers on the phone. Please do not hand over your social security number, your banking information to anybody that calls you. IRS scams, green dot card scams, they're all scams. Grandma, it's me scam, which is where somebody will call and say your grandson or your granddaughter has been arrested. They're in custody. You need to send them $5,000 to get them out of jail. Those kinds of scams. Then we have the identity theft, where somebody obtains your information and opens up credit cards, accounts, bank accounts, you know, purchase vehicles. Then we have consumer fraud, which is where you may hire a contractor or somebody to come and do some repairs to your home. You pay them the money and the work doesn't get done. In Riverside County, we have a program called CARE, which is curtailing abuse related to the elderly. And that specifically works on those types of cases. We work with reporting agencies, contractor state licensing board, as an example of one. And, you know, we work towards trying to recoup your money.
Speaking of that, how do you recoup money, or in financial cases, what can you do if someone's been scammed?
So in an identity theft situation, depending on what happened and if the banks are involved, we do work with the banks, and sometimes the banks will give you your money back on those. If it's a scam and you willingly handed over some money in a scam, the likelihood is you're not going to get that money back. And it is very, very difficult to get the money back because the scammer is usually outside of the country, maybe in
Nigeria.
Right. You know, those types of countries. I do see scams from England as well. Okay. But it's very, very difficult to get your money back on those types. And it can be devastating. As an example, when you are 30 years old, if you are scammed out of your life savings or the assets that you have obtained at that point in your life, you have 30, 35 years where you can work towards rebuilding that. When you are 75, even 65 years old and somebody scammed you out of your life savings, you don't have those years to recoup that money. So it's devastating. And data has shown that victims of financial abuse, they have additional health issues. There's anxiety, there's depression that comes. And we also see premature death in those cases.
So in the case of financial abuse, so what happens if you have a family member that erroneously or illegally has the house of the elderly person signed over to them without that elderly person knowing that? Can that be reversed?
So data shows that about 60% of crimes committed are those committed by family members. Let's say a family member obtains your debit card or your banking information. They get added to your bank account. It's very difficult to get the money back. We do work very closely with law enforcement agencies. We work very closely with the District Riverside County District Attorney's Office. And we have had cases where we have managed to prosecute our suspects and had the deeds reversed back to the original owner and the situation corrected. But it is very, very difficult to do. So a lot of what we do is early education. We spend a lot of time in our community, whether it be at a senior center, a community center. I'm willing to speak to anybody that is willing to listen. You don't have to be a senior for me to come out and speak to your group. Anybody who's willing to listen and learn. So education is the key here. If we can prevent it, it's so much easier than trying to reverse it after the crime has been committed.
Right. Now, how is the department actually helping prevent elder abuse? I know you have many different programs, but what are some of the proactive things that the department is doing to prevent elder abuse?
So one of the things we do is we have our annual Elder and Dependent Adult Abuse Symposium that we host every year. We usually have it at the Riverside Convention Center, and it usually has about, I think last year we had about 525 people registered to attend that. And that event invites city, county, government agencies, nonprofit agencies, anyone that's involved with the day-to-day care or contact with seniors and dependent adults. It's an opportunity for those agencies to come together, attend breakout sessions, an opportunity to network with each other, and it's an educational opportunity.
Okay, and who were some of the speakers at the symposium?
Some of the speakers we had this year, we had Steve Whidden, who's a detective from the Marietta Police Department, along with Michelle Husky and Maureen Dumichel, who's with the Deputy District Attorney's Office. And they did a breakout session on interview strategies for elder and dependent adult abuse. We had Office on Aging attended. We had Riverside University Health System, their Behavioral Health Division, attended. So there's a lot of different breakout sessions. Our keynote speaker this year was Dr. Hamadi, who works over at Riverside University Health System Medical Center. We have Dr. Franklin, who works over at UCR. And then we also had, who we've actually had a couple of years now because everybody found him so interesting, was Craig Parker. He does estate planning 101. So basically what he's going to do is come in and teach you how to plan for the future. Because if you don't prepare ahead of schedule, when you start having mental health issues or maybe you get dementia or Alzheimer's, it's very, very hard to do trusts, to write up wills, because at that point your decision making is impaired. So he teaches people how to prepare for the future to prevent being a victim.
Right. I imagine interviewing the elderly to find out if any kind of elder abuse is going on would be kind of difficult, because I imagine many elderly people don't actually know they're being taken advantage of.
So when a report comes in, we usually have a social worker assigned to that case. That social worker will go out and determine the client's mental capacity and their health. And we do have like a MOCA assessment that we use. And every case is very, very different on how we move forward, depending on the client that we have, what their mental health is, you know, what their medical conditions are and what their needs are. So it never really comes in a box. It's very, very different for each one. And depending what the needs of each case are, depends on what additional services, resources that we bring in to assist that person.
Okay, great. Now, were there any specific points of interest for this year's symposium?
So this year's symposium was based around early intervention. So that's what we talk about. Last year was talking about building bridges. But this year, early intervention is all about coming together, working together, collaboratively, and identifying problems early so that it's so much easier to kind of resolve or address those concerns early. So Riverside County works a lot with what we refer to as MDTs, which is multidisciplinary teams. And in the coming years, there's going to be a huge increase in the population of seniors in both Riverside County and the nation as a whole. So our resources and our services are going to be pushed to the max. We're not going to have enough skilled nursing facilities, enough beds in our hospitals, enough doctors and nurses. We're not going to have enough like social services. So we are all going to have to work smarter instead of harder. And our MDTs do that. We bring agencies together. We do case discussion on some of our very most difficult cases, and we come up with a plan of action. Very often in these meetings, we might find that there's three or four agencies sitting around the table that are all working on the same client. They're all working in silos independently, and it's just not a smart way to work. So we come together and we work as a small team, and each person of that team takes a small piece of that case, works it, and then comes back together. It's working smarter instead of harder.
Great. Now, how can someone report elder abuse? And is there an actual website or telephone number? I know you were talking about it earlier that actual reports have to come in by phone.
Yes. So if you suspect, and I ask everybody to be very aware of your community, your friends, your neighbors. Everybody has a family member, be it a grandparent, an aunt, uncle. We all come in contact with our seniors. So I ask everybody, if you feel that there's some type of abuse taking place, if you suspect there's some type of abuse taking place, to please call that into Adult Protective Services so that we can go ahead and investigate it further. Our telephone number is 800-491-7123.
Give that number again.
800-491-7123.
And is there a website that they can go to get more information?
Absolutely. That website is dpss.co.riverside.ca.us.
And I'll also put a link on our website blog that will take you directly to that page as well after this interview. Is there any other places that they can find out more information about elder abuse rather than something outside of the DPSS website?
You can merely go onto your computer, go onto Google, and just type in elder abuse, types of elder abuse. And there's a huge amount of information on the internet right now. And it's all about educating yourself. Be prepared. Be prepared for that phone call and that scammer that wants to get your personal information and then take it and abuse it. If anybody has a group, if you run an agency and you are interested in, you know, having us come out and speak on this topic to your groups, we are more than happy to come out and speak to anybody that is willing to listen. It's all about education and educating people up front.
And I believe our governor, Gavin Newsom, recently signed a bill relating to elderly abuse. What was that about?
Yes. Yeah, so Governor Gavin Newsom recently signed an executive order calling for the creation of a California master plan on aging. I think this is very important with the increase in our senior population that we're going to see in the coming years. And it's going to address items such as transportation, housing, long-term care, health plans, in-home support services. So I think that's something for everybody to watch for and see how it progresses.
See how it implement. Mm-hmm. Okay, if there's one last point as we get ready to close here, if there's one last point you can make about elder abuse, what would that be?
It's important that we watch out for our friends, family, neighbors. Our seniors and our dependent adults are a target in this day and age. They do have billions of dollars in assets. And I like to take myself as an example. And the thought of somebody scamming either my mother or father out of their life savings terrifies me. So I just ask everybody, be very cognizant of what's going on around you. And again, if you feel like or you suspect like there's elder abuse taking place, please just call it in. Let us do our job and let us protect our seniors.
Okay, let's close. Give us that number once again.
It's 800-491-7123. And that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Somebody will pick that phone up.
Okay, Michaela Williams, Senior Community Program Specialist for Riverside County Department of Public Social Services, and we've been talking about elder abuse. So thank you once again for joining me today, Michaela. I appreciate it.
Thank you.